This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom in Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Hi there, and welcome back to Mom in Mind. I am your host, Dr. Kat, and this is another episode of Behind the Sessions, where I talk about things that come up in therapy, things that people are discussing and really struggling with at times. And the hope is to really just give a peek into what goes on inside therapy, what goes on in perinatal mental health and therapy, and try and pull the curtain back as much as possible so that those of you who are considering getting help or feel like therapy is going to be too hard or too difficult, or, you know, what even happens in therapy, so that you can get more comfortable with the idea of therapy and for it to feel more accessible to you. So I dive into topics that come up in therapy sessions, and that some of them are universal, like meaning that a lot of people deal with them. And some of them take on shades that are specific to the individual, even if they do have kind of are more globally applicable. What is really true is that whatever is going on for you, there is somebody out there who is going through something similar or can at least identify with parts of what you're struggling with. And today what I want to talk about is something that comes up in so many therapy sessions, actually is sometimes part of the reason why people come into therapy, and that is when your family of origin, doesn't support you in the way that you need. This can cause huge amounts of stress. As you've probably heard in many of our other episodes, having support is really, really important. And when people are trying to become pregnant or transitioning into pregnancy and postpartum and that first bit of time with a new baby, or in some form of grief, whatever that might be in their process, you really want to be able to pull on the resources that you have, and you want them to be able to show up for you in the way that you need. So I'll give you a couple of examples of what I'm describing. Let's say, you know, maybe you have an on and off or sometimes difficult relationship with your mother, or it's an okay relationship but isn't super deep, or you don't feel like she's emotionally available to you in general. And then you are going through the transition of becoming a parent. And what I find to be true is that during that time is one of the highest times of need for your parent to be the parent you've always wanted them to be or needed them to be. And therefore, if they are not and can't meet those needs for you, how disappointing that can be, how angering, how saddening, how frustrating any feeling could come up during that time of really, really needing that parent and wanting that parent and for them to sort of disappoint you again. So people who are going through this transition into parenthood are often going through it. You know, if you are going through this for the first time on your own, the examples of how to do these things have come from either your family of origin or other people that you are close with. So if you don't have that relationship to rely on to help guide you through any number of things, you're kind of flying blind at that point. You're making things up as you go, which we have to do anyways, but it is nice to feel like you have an anchor somewhere, somebody that you can rely on or turn to when you're having feelings, when you're having confusion, when you have questions. And if you don't have that support that is available to you, it can feel even more stressful to be going through the transition into parenthood. One of the ways I've seen this kind of play out is that, you know, that hope for your parent to be the parent you've always needed, it's not always like a conscious process. It's not always top of mind, something that you're going into parenting thinking like, oh, I'm really gonna need my parent to be a parent, you know, the adult or the leader. It's not a conscious process always. So sometimes what happens is, you know, you can be, let's say you become pregnant or you're going through a fertility process and finding that you're bumping up against some emotional stuff. And you go to maybe talk to your parent about it. Let's say you're going to go talk to your mom about it because you just need to talk some stuff through. And then she's not available to talk about it, meaning she cuts you off or minimizes your experience or talks about herself instead. And that feeling that comes up from that interaction is for some people kind of like a small gut punch. Like, oh, I came to you because I needed to talk to you about something and you're not there for me. And there's an additional, for a lot of people anyways, there's this additional feeling of, I really need my parent to be the parent now. And when they are not, it's doubly disappointing. And sometimes even if I can say almost an assumption that let's say in this example, that the mom is going to be able to kind of show up in the way that is needed, finally, maybe. But if she's not, if she's kind of being the parent that she's always been, or not treating this new scenario with the gentleness or support that you need, it can feel really, really devastating and disappointing. Some of the ways that I've seen and heard parents not show up are, let's say, like not asking questions. So if you're, let's say your parent isn't asking you questions about how you're doing, when is your next appointment? What did the doctor say? What kind of, you know, are you looking into doulas or that kind of stuff? There's no curiosity about your experience. That can be really hard to not have sort of somebody thinking with you about your needs. Or sometimes people feel judged by their parent. So, for instance, if let's say if you are in the process of fertility treatments and you are trying to become pregnant through IVF, you could have a parent be judgmental that you're not trying some other thing that they happen to randomly find on the internet. You know, they're telling you that you should try X, Y, or Z as if you haven't already thought about every possibility under the sun of how to try to become pregnant, but they are judging you for your strategy or how you're going about things. Or if you, let's say, do have a new baby, they could be judging why you chose the feeding modality that you chose, whether that be like nursing or bottle feeding, or how you comfort your child. So there can be like this other side where it's more of like an intrusiveness or a judgment about how you're doing things. And for some people, some of their parents can do both. They can be very intrusive in certain ways and kind of absent in other ways.
This podcast is supported by Posh Peanut. Raising a family can be tough, as we know, and it can also be amazing and beautiful. Posh Peanut gets it, which is why they make beautiful, soft clothing that is tough enough to withstand all of the rough and tumble of childhood. And they have sizing for parents as well. You could even get matching clothing for the whole family. Made from viscose from bamboo, the clothes stretch with your kid as they grow and are 4 times stretchier than cotton. These clothes are made to last, loved by parents and approved by kids. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house, from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. It's also breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate on sensitive skin. So I got my Posh Peanut loungewear, and I've been putting it on, especially after my long client days, because I need the instant comfort and relaxation. It's one of the ways that I do my self-care, because the soft, stretchy fabric of the Posh Peanut loungewear is really comforting to me. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code MIND. Go to poshpeanut.com/mind and use promo code MIND for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/mind, promo code MIND.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
So for this example, I'll call the mom of origin grandma and the person who gave birth mom. So the grandmother comes over and doesn't do anything, doesn't really lift a finger, doesn't ask what the new mom needs, and doubles down on not helping by asking for her own needs to be met. So at this point, new mom, newly postpartum, is not only taking care of a new baby, but also taking care of her own mother. So family relationships are quite complex. That I think goes without saying. But if we go into this reproductive period time with, I guess, like unfulfilled needs from our family of origin, it is totally natural and normal to want them to show up in the way that you need them to show up when you're going through major life changes. And it's disappointing and upsetting when they don't. So the struggle that happens for people, this contributes when these dynamics come up and people are not only struggling with their own reproductive journey, but now also struggling with their family of origin, the ways in which they're, you know, not being supportive. It makes things just that much more complex. And it's not that we're always necessarily thinking of things on this fully conscious processing, you know, our thoughts and our feelings level. It could just be like a felt sense of sadness or disappointment or even avoidance if you're trying to avoid a family member that is intrusive or that you have to take care of. Or you could be feeling a lot of grief, just sadness that you are not getting the help that you need and that your parent isn't showing up in the way that you need. And those are real feelings. It doesn't matter that you're an adult. It doesn't matter that you are having your own child or that whatever, you have a job or a career in an apartment or house, or you have all these things of stability or things that you've created in your own life. The way that humans operate is that we need connection. We need to feel supported. We need to have community. And so even if you're 35 or 40, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you are in a new phase of life, specifically going into parenthood, it kicks up a lot of stuff. That's what I'll say. This transition brings up a lot of things, a lot of feelings that are kind of like maybe you didn't have to think about for a long time. Like if you, I don't know, moved out and got a job or went to college or whatever, you started your own life, you might not have had to think about the interdependence or the need you have from your family in this way for a long time. So even though you are feeling more independent and are, you know, you can provide for yourself and all that, the emotional connection that you had with your family and have now with your family comes up. And I will talk about in a separate episode how our past traumas can come up during the reproductive period. But for now, I want to have a tighter focus on just family relationships and how impacted we can be by not having our needs met during the process to become a parent. You might, for the first time in a long time, be remembering like, oh, that's right. When I was younger and I needed something, mom wasn't there, or she dismissed my feelings and she's doing the same thing now. I just want to like pause for just a moment, and I'm not parent bashing. I'm not family bashing. I'm just talking about the complexity of family systems and family relationships. I believe to a certain extent that most parents, in this case, we're talking about like grandparents, did the best that they could with the information that they had, the resources that they had at the time. And humans are not perfect. We make mistakes. So I don't want to come across as that I'm, you know, parent bashing in any way. We all have our blind spots. We all have our limitations. We all have our own stuff from our own families of origin, and grandparents do too, especially generations ago. You know, we weren't talking about feelings. Their parents might not have been talking about feelings to be able to show up for you in the way that you needed at that time. So just to put that out there. Now you, in your reproductive journey, are maybe experiencing this disconnect, this need, this unfulfilled part of your relationship with your parents, now in the context of you becoming a parent. So people describe having feelings like, oh my gosh, I would never do this to my child. I hope that when my kid has, you know, if my kid has their own kid, I will never do this to them. I will make sure that they feel supported. So you're kind of holding two different worlds in a way, sometimes three. You could be holding like what is happening currently. You don't feel connected with your family, or you're not getting the support that you need. You're holding your own past of relationships with them and how that was, let's just say, unfulfilling or didn't meet your needs at the very least, let's say. May have been much worse than that. And now you're holding this like new life, this hope for the future and how you're going to be. This is so complex. And like I said before, we're not necessarily thinking about this on a super cognitive level, like sitting down and thinking like, you know, analyzing all of this. It could just be these felt senses, this overwhelm of anger, of sadness, of grief, of disappointment, of confusion, of loss of hope, you know, for the relationship that you wanted to have with your parent. Potentially even loss of a relationship that, or hopes for the kind of relationship that you wanted your parent to have with your child. So, you know, all of that is incredibly complex, and I'm not even listing all of the complexity. I'm just talking about parts of it. What happens in therapy is that we're trying to figure that out, untangle those feelings, name them where we can, understand them where we can, and find ways to still stay in relationship with family members, even if they're not going to be there in the way that you need them to be there. That could, you know, look like setting different boundaries with family members, or it could look like limited contact in some cases, or it can be learning how to communicate what your needs are in a different way. And in part, if somebody's coming to therapy, they are an individual coming to therapy, but they are bringing with them the complexity of their family and their life and all of that. Some families of origin are open to having discussions about this and like talking about feelings, and others are not. So sometimes in therapy, a client might be trying to figure out for themselves, within themselves, how to continue to have a relationship or how to proceed in a relationship with a parent who isn't there for them and who they cannot have this conversation with. Obviously, if you have a parent who's open to having a discussion about repair in the relationship or how to shift things and change things, then great. That's always awesome. But is often not available to people for multiple reasons. One, it might be a hard discussion to have for you, or it could be that your parent doesn't have the capacity to understand their own role in the situation, or might not want to reflect on that. You just never know where somebody else is at. And again, like, there's billions of people in this world, so there's that many ways to be a human. So it's not like one rule is gonna work for every person. This is all very individual. And that's part of the work that happens in therapy is, although I'm talking about something that can be applicable to a lot of people, how it is embodied for you, how it impacts you, and how you are trying to figure out how to interact with your family around this is very individual. And that is, for me, the beauty of therapy is, you know, that's the therapist, and in my case, that's me and you, trying to figure out how to make things more tolerable, how to put plans in place so that your transition into and through a parenthood feels better to the extent that it can. You know, talking about in relation to a parent who's not there for you or not there for you the way that you need.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
So some of the work that we do in therapy is, some of it's just exploring the client's feelings, how they feel in relation to the person that they're having difficulty with, mother, father, sibling, grandparent. Sometimes there's generations of difficulty. So I really want to understand, how do you feel when you are in relation to that person or those people? How does that impact you? How does that affect how you make decisions about how you're interacting with them? What is working for you? What is not working for you? What can be shifted and what can't? And ultimately, in this period of life, you know, what are we working towards? What is a goal that you would have in how you want to interact with and or communicate with your family of origin? And all of this could be happening while, like, that family member or those family members have no idea that you're working on this. It's such an interesting process. Of course, like I said before, if your family's open to family therapy or working through these things together, then woohoo, that is awesome. But oftentimes, people are seeking out therapy because of these complexities and because of how it impacts them and makes them feel. So there can be like a grieving process in here. That's essentially a lot of what things end up feeling like or being like, is just really grieving the loss of the hope that you had for that relationship with that person, that parent, and coming to terms with your parents or your sibling or whoever with their limitations
And I'm not saying that in a negative or judgmental way, just like humans have limitations. So that person has them as well. And so do you. And so we're really trying to figure out what's going to work for you. What's going to be sustainable? How do you maintain your mental health, your wellness in relation to that person who's been disappointing or challenging for you? So I invite you to be curious about this for yourself. If you are somebody who does have difficult or complicated relationships with your own parents or your siblings, all of the things that I've listed before really start with some introspection, some reflection on how you feel and how you respond to those folks or that person. And understanding how you feel is really, really important. And I do invite people to consider therapy as an option, finding a therapist who's a good fit for you to help walk you through this. And certainly what I'm doing right now in this conversation is not therapy in and of itself, but it is a tool to reflect on your own experience so that you have a better sense of what you're feeling and what's coming up for you. Because otherwise, we're just feeling stuff and it throws us off. It could throw you, you know, kind of into an irritable state. And that is like kind of could come out with a partner or at work or in other ways. But once we can kind of label what's going on, understand a little more deeply how we are being affected by a situation and, you know, name it, identify it, it helps to give context to why we feel the way we feel and for it to not start to spill out onto other things, other people, other situations. So if you are somebody who has had a difficult relationship with a family member or a parent in the past, and it is coming up for you during your process into parenthood, whatever that looks like for you, whether you decide to ever talk to that family member or not about this complexity, certainly that is up to you. But I do encourage people to start a practice of reflecting on how they feel, naming those feelings, and again, go find a therapist who can help you process what you're feeling. I personally believe that it is super cool to have two brains thinking about your scenario, your situation, and coming up with ways to help you cope. It should be a mutual process. It's not I tell you what to do or if somebody tells you what to do. You are in your life and you know what's going to work and what won't, or at least have somebody who can come up with ideas with you on what to test out in your life to see if it works. And as usual, with all of these episodes, the goal here is for you to know that you are not alone. If you are struggling in your family relationships and it is impacting your reproductive journey, it is contributing to feelings of anxiety or depression, please know that you are not alone. So many people come to therapy with this as part of what's going on for them, part of what is making things more difficult and more complex. So just want to give you the reassurance, whether you believe it, I guess, or not, for yourself, that other people feel these things and go through these things. Let's just take that shame away. Let's take the stigma away and know that you are not alone. I invite you to check out the website wellmindperinatal.com/courses and look through there to see if there are any courses that could benefit you to help you understand what is going on for you if you are a newly postpartum mom. Those courses are built for you, and there are a lot of skills and tools in there that are useful, especially if you're waiting for therapy or you're having there's a long wait to get in to see a therapist. I just find that having information, having education, having resources, and having some tools is so helpful in making this journey into parenthood that much easier. Well, that'll do it for today, and I really appreciate you being here. Share this with anybody you think could benefit from this conversation, and until next time. Please find the Mom and Mind podcast on momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com, where you can also find access to my free online mini course that is specifically designed for people experiencing anxiety in the postpartum period. Or you can learn more about the 3.5-hour self-paced course that I created just for managing postpartum stress. You can also connect with us on social media at Mom and Mind on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in and learning more about perinatal mental health.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.